attention a monk asked Master Joshu, does a dog have Buddha nature? Joshu replied, yes. The monk said, since it has, how did it get into the bag of skin? Joshu said, because knowingly he purposely offends. Another occasion, a monk asked Joshu, does a dog have Buddha nature? Joshu said, no. The monk said, all beings have Buddha nature. Why doesn't the dog have it? Joshu said, it's because of his having karmic consciousness. Because of his having karma consciousness. This case in the Book of Serenity, case 18, is a wonderful case. As some of you may know, this second part of the case is also the first case of the Mumonkan, the gateless gate. Does a dog have Buddha nature? So, let me read the introduction, which will help us to clarify attention. Attention is what each case of the Book of Serenity, the Shoyaroku, the Book of Equanimity, different translations into English, begin with, and each is all contained in that, and yet there's an elaboration. The introduction clarifies it for us, prepares us. A gourd floating on the water, push it down and it turns. A jewel in the sunlight has no definite shape. It can't be attained by mindlessness nor known by mindfulness. Immeasurably great people have turned about in the stream of words. Is there anyone who can escape? Immeasurably great people have been caught up in the stream of words. Is there anyone who can escape? Anyone who can escape? Talking about us, of course. Anyone? Is there any way that we can escape? Escape from what? Escape from being blinded to this that we are. Missing attention despite being reminded. Attention. So this monk, this practitioner comes to Joshu. Master Joshu at this point is an extremely well accomplished master, somewhere probably in his late 80s, 90s, 100. He's said to have lived to 120. And in the record of Joshu, we have many people coming to see him. And we also have him pilgrimaging, visiting other great masters, clarifying, polishing this jewel of life that has no fixed color, no fixed shade. And yet people come hoping to clarify this matter, or maybe hoping to challenge him. Who knows what they come from. But this monk asks, does a dog have Buddha nature already gone off? Having, not having. So Joshu responds, yes. What is this yes? What is this yes? Don't get trapped by the word. The capping phrases for this are nice. The capping phrase, does a dog have Buddha nature? He blocks the alley chasing a clod of earth. He blocks the alley. We block our alley chasing all sorts of clods, missing Joshu's yes, yet it has never been added. But the questioner obviously adds what? What does the questioner add? Of course, the questioner is asking about not some abstraction, or maybe he is, but he's missing already, missing what he's asking. He's asking about his own life, his own Buddha nature, or does he miss it in the words? Chase the clods of earth, missing the alley, the way of our life. But the questioner says, well, since it has Buddha nature, why is it in this skin bag? Why am I in this skin bag? Why do we encounter these sorts of circumstances? As the comment, the capping phrase says, checking once, he beckons coming out with what pertains to himself. Well, in a way, that's a good question because it genuinely shows where the monk's at, where he's stuck. Joshu doesn't leave him with it. He says, because he knows, yet he transgresses. Because he knows, yet he transgresses. What's Joshu saying? Because knowingly he purposely offends. Joshu's showing a mirror to the questioner, giving him the opportunity, her the opportunity, to have the question clarified, which is what questions are all about. Or we don't notice it and we miss the questions that we're asking. Do you have Buddha nature? What is this Buddha nature? What is this having, not having? What is this something called Buddha nature, other than myself, other than our life? No-mindedness is not understand, cannot be understood. Yes-mindedness cannot be perceived. No, yes answers. Those aren't it if you get trapped by words. If we get trapped by the words. No, yes. See, our practice is not to be trapped by our own words or the words of others, or at least to see how and where we're being caught in a self-centered dream. Caught. Just notice, caught. is the opportunity to be this one. No blame for caught can't be helped if it's so. If we find ourselves chasing a clod of her, what to do? The appreciatory verse, let me bring it up now, since it's, I think, very nice and simple. The dog's Buddha nature, yes, the dog's Buddha nature, no. From the first, a straight hook seeks fish with abandon. Isn't that nice? There's a little more to it. But a straight hook seeks fish with abandon. If any of you have ever gone fishing, you know very well that a fish hook is curved. You know that very well, even more, fish hooks might also have additional barbs of some sort. But a straight hook, what can you catch? Slipping on, slipping off? Chasing the spirit, seeking the fragrance, a cloud and water guest, pattering and chattering to make debate and excuses. Pattering and chattering of all sorts of ways. We get to miss our life if our pattering and chattering gets in the way. If we allow our excuses and explanations to lead us to miss. This is what our practice is always encouraging us to see clearly and not be blinded by, or not hold on to when we find ourselves blinded by. Yes, no. Do they trap us? Have, not have. Stories about self, stories about others. Notice how freely Joshu responds. There's a comment on that verse, which is by a later Chan master, a straight harpoon catches ferocious dragons. A curved hook catches clams. Clams, easy to catch, no need for a curved hook. And yet we make trouble curving all sorts of hooks. He's praising Joshu's straight answer. Yes, straight answer, no. Are they in conflict with each other, those answers? Does Joshu respond and make use of the question, good questions, bad questions, whatever questions come up in our life, how do we skillfully take care of them? Whatever circumstances, how can we be floating freely on the water of our life? If we get pushed down, we turn this way, that way, according to how we push. Yet if we have a prescription, I've got to be mindless, mindful, then we get trapped by the words mindless, mindful. If we're trapped, then we blind ourselves and create suffering, harming, unless we see the trap. Then we could slip on and off hooks. No problem. Yes, no, have, don't have. Sentient beings have Buddha nature. Sentient beings don't have Buddha nature. Our practice is in the midst of words, in the midst of circumstances, responding as the floating gourd according to where, how, or push, what pushes, or seeing how and where caught in the self-centered dream, caught in the other-centered dream, holding on to all sorts of things, then we're not willing to be this moment. We resist this moment. Bumping into it is a wonderful opportunity. Suffering, upset, even harming, all are then fodder, if I use that word, for us to take care of right this moment. In this jewel sunlight, we can produce all sorts of shapes and colors and yet have no definite shape. If we get turned about by the words, then we miss our own life. We miss serving all being. We miss serving this life universe that is nothing but ours. Getting what we want, getting what we don't want, not getting what we want. All sorts of opportunities, having Buddha nature, not having Buddha nature, understanding Buddha nature, not understanding our own nature. So, the circumstances that appear are the monk appearing for Joshu. Those are the circumstances that ask questions of us and give us opportunities. It's up to us to embrace and manifest, pop up in the water according to how we're pushed down. Show the sunlight in the jewel that is our love, that is who and what we love. Thank you.